Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. Today, we've got Dr. Tim Elmore in the studio with us. And calling in, we have Darren McMains from the San Francisco Giants baseball organization. He has had an extensive career with the Giants, first as a player and now as a coach. So, Tim, why don't you introduce Darren to us?
Thanks, Jim. Darren, we are so glad that you're on this podcast today. You and I have been friends now for years, and I think we felt a natural affinity from the very beginning with our desire to pour into student-athletes or athletes. I'd like, actually, for those in our listening audience that don't know your story, to hear your story. So would you take a minute or two? What led you to begin working as a mental health specialist, as a peak performance specialist with the San Francisco Giants?
Yeah, you know, if someone would have told me when I got drafted that I'd be doing this, I'd first would have told them they were crazy, you know. This position has sort of just naturally evolved, just I think based on the relationships that I've built, personality, combined that with education just over the years. But I was drafted in 2001 out of college, out of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, for those people out there that know where that is. Anyway, I was drafted then, played in the minor leagues until 2008. Unfortunately, I was forced to retire due to five ultimate surgeries between my shoulder and wrist. And so I guess based on my experience, the Giants thought that I could help them coaching. So I started coaching in the minor leagues, became a manager. And during that time, I really saw that the biggest difference between the players that were able to succeed and unfortunately couldn't reach their potential was really the mental side. And so I really started to look more into that and saw that, you know, I could get my master's in sport and exercise psychology. So I started doing that just with the idea of just to become a better coach, you know, and yeah. become a better, you know, mentor to these young guys that have tons of talent. And so it's like, how could I help them shape their attitude in the way that they're going to get the most out of their ability? And, you know, just sort of talking with the Giants, working with them in that sort of area, they found out I was doing that. A position, you know, became available where, you know, they're like, we wanted something like this. And so it's just sort of one of the things that there's just a natural fit, you know, just based on, like I said, my experiences as a player and as a coach and, you know, going through injury and dealing with that. I was married throughout my time in the minor league. So I had that experience of being married, you know, and sort of navigating those waters. And, and I don't know, just sort of all those things combined together, just became a real natural fit. And so I moved into this peak performance coordinator role and, you know, I've had 2 full years of it and have rolled up this program. And, yeah, you know, now that's just about, you know, helping players, you know, like I said, get the most out of their ability. Because, you know, everyone here, when they all get there, when we talk about athletic ability, it's pretty much equal, you know, and it's the mental side that separates them. And so, yeah, that's what I help them do, you know, help them get their mind right. And so they can get the most out of, you know, the ability that God
talent.
Gave them.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, and what I love about your motivation is it really is birthed out of, I want to help people. So obviously your playing days would have one day been over, and here you've been able to stay with a great organization and give back. And I know there's many players that would say they're blessed as the recipients of what you're doing. Well, this is a timely podcast. We're on the heels of another San Francisco Giants World Series win, yet another one. 3 and 5 years, that's got to feel good. Darren, you probably heard, just as we did, that the broadcasters that were you know, talking this World Series were talking about either destiny or dynasty. Would this be the Kansas City Royals finally reaching a destiny after 29 years of a drought in postseason? Or would it be this Giants dynasty? And as it turned out, Game 7, the Giants now, I mean, they are the team of this, you know, of this decade. They ended up winning another one and now have 3 World Series in 5 years. What does that do to a club? I know there's great positives, but talk about mentally, what does that do, good and bad, to a club? Or what's the potential it has to do to a club?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I guess the biggest thing and probably the most exciting thing that I get to see, because, you know, I get to work with players, you know, all across the organization, is just the confidence that builds throughout the entire organization, you know. Just to say, you know, wow, we get better buy-in. It's like, hey, we know what we're doing, you know. It's like you can have confidence in what you're being told. You can have confidence in doing this. And that's a big thing, you know. And we'll talk more about that later. But I think that's the biggest thing. And it's not just the club, you know. I guess that's the biggest thing, is understanding the ripple effect, you know, that you can have throughout a staff and throughout an organization, throughout a city, you know, and how that just sort of just grows, you know, and just the positive attitude, the optimism that comes from that. And so I think that's been probably the coolest thing to see, you know, for the develop is watch these young guys that come into this organization already have a confidence or an air about them just simply because they were drafted by the Giants. And that's sort of a really fun thing to be a part of. You know, some of the areas that it can be a pitfall or whatever that we just got to be careful about, you know, winning is that, you know, sorry, I mentioned earlier is like the one thing I always remember, I guess when we're talking about continued success over a long haul is to always remember trust starts at zero. You know, I think sometimes we have the propensity to say, you know, look at the tradition of our success, or, you know, we have these sort of taglines that we put at the front if we're trying to get somebody to do something, you know, it's like, you know, I've worked with these particular superstar athletes before, so do this, or, you know, this is how champions do it, so do this, you know, and I think if we're not careful as, you know, a high school coach, college coach, or whatever, if you come from a program of success, and we use those taglines, we're getting past the point and we're not understanding that trust really starts at zero with every new freshman, with every new player we add to our team or new staff member, you know. And the problem is, I guess when we get there is if you look back before you began winning and before you created a dynasty or whatever, you couldn't say that, right? And so, you know, what did you say? And, you know, well, I had to build my relationships on trust, right? And so, I guess the biggest thing is, you know, people trust people. They don't trust accomplishments, you know? And so as nice as it is to have these championships in your back pocket and these, you know, these rings or these trophies on a shelf, you know, the thing I think that every coach should be aware of, you know, every new season is remember that, you know, trust starts at zero and we lead people by having that relationship and they don't have relationships with past successes. They just don't.
That's good. That's so good. You know, Darren, when I teach rivers and floods, I often make this statement, and it just reminded me of it when you were talking. Both success and failure can be enemies of focus. Success can be an enemy of focus because if you do one thing well, people tend to pile a bunch of other things on you, and, you know, pretty soon now you're 5 miles wide and 1 inch deep. Or failure can be an enemy of success because, you know, you fail and you start questioning everything, you know. It's the proverbial hitting slump where you go, man, maybe I need to change my swing completely. And maybe they do. But you can see this, I can see this fine line to walk where you're mentally focused. You're really on your game. You've got the eye of the tiger, whatever you want to call it. Would you talk for just a minute? Because you've worked with players now for years, seeing both the upside and the downside of the pattern of, you know, winning each time. Well, you guys have won each time you've entered the World Series the last three episodes. So there might be a feeling of, you know, we're ultimately going to win. That's cool. But does it cause people to let their guard down? I don't know. I'd love to hear.
That's a great question because, you know, I think the biggest thing that happens, obviously, I think we all know this is that when you win, it obviously everyone's expectations go up, you know, it's sort of how it should be. I mean, you know, one of the, you know, leading authors and speakers out there that has really talked about reversing the formula of success, which he says reverses the formula of success leading to happiness. He talks about that every time our brain has a success, we just change the goalpost of what success looks like. And so, you know, I think once you win one World Series, well, everyone's expectations go up as they should, you know, and, but what's important is I always, you know, when working with any player and we talk about with every success, we got to elevate our intention, not our expectation, you know? And so now let's elevate our intention process, you know, because everyone else around us is going to have huge expectations and expectations are always based on results. And the thing to understand is we can't control results. All results do really is give us, you know, something to shoot for, but really they just create pressure, doubt, anxiety, those types of things if we focus on them too much, you know? And so, but with winning, that becomes bigger. You know, it's like you win one conference championship, well, now we want to win two,
right?
Which is a great mindset, but, you know, it's still focused on the process. And so the biggest thing, you know, like I tell our players is just, you know, make sure we just elevate our intention with every success, okay? It's like, guess what? We've won 3 in 5 years now. Everyone's expectations can be through the roof. So now, since their expectations have elevated, our intention has to elevate as well, yeah. but our intention on the day-to-day process that yes. gives us that success.
Yeah. Well, and the thought that just streaked through my mind as you said that is because the process is something that's in your control. You set goals.
Absolutely.
If it's out of your control, well, good luck with that. You know, you have good days and bad days,
right.
but that's just crucial to, I would think, to keep an athlete really focused on the items that are in their control, and that's the day-to-day grind of the process.
It is.
I have another question that's kind of a second cousin to that, and maybe this will help you, it maybe even set you up to drill down deeper. We've all heard the phrase, the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is today's success. Because of that proverbial, I relax, I'm awesome, you let my guard down. At the same time, baseball is a game of failure. I've heard you say that before. So, you
right.
know, there's that, oh my gosh, it's just a fine line. I would think you have a lot of guys playing baseball that just struggle with the negativity of, man, well, something's wrong with me. You know, I've struck out X amount of times, and yet they're still maybe hitting 300.
Sure.
So how can coaches help players to internally guard against the pitfalls of both the success thing and the failure thing?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is, and I just try to, I mean, understand the power of words, you know,
yeah.
I think is huge. And, you know, understand what you're, you know, talking to your players about. And a big thing I always share with our players, or I mean, any player, I mean, I work with college football players too as they prepare for the NFL Combine. And so the thing I always say with them is, you know, life is a learning experience. You know, failures are simply learning experiences. That's really all they are. You know, I mean, and you can go online and find a list, you know, from Walt Disney to Dr. Seuss to Michael Jordan. You know, I mean, the list goes on of
yeah.
quote-unquote famous failures, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, and so when we talk about baseball as a game of failure, actually it's just a game of learning is what it is, you know, because although mastery or perfection is what we always shoot for, realistically, we're never going to hit that. And so, but I do know that, you know, excellence is definitely attainable. And so, but I guess society or media or fans, their definition of success is always going to be different than,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, what the player can actually control. And so, you know, what I do, I sit down with a baseball card, you know, and we go over the stats on the back of a baseball card, you know, and I say, tell me which one of these you can control.
Yeah.
You know, and they go through games played, at bats, runs, hits, doubles, homers, walks, strikeouts. I mean, all, and then they realize I can't control any of those.
Yeah.
You know, and so, the funny and the interesting thing is, you know, your contract's based, your playing time's based on those, right? But the interesting thing that you got to, I guess, wrestle with is the tension to understand that you can't control any of those.
Yeah.
You know, all I can control is my attitude, my look, at, you know, my outlook, my preparation, you know, myself, of how good a self-evaluator am I? You know, I always tell them, you know, if you're too coachable or uncoachable, you're really not any good to us.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because if you're too coachable, you're going to do everything that anyone ever tells you, even grandma, mom, dad, you know, and
yeah.
oh, try this, where if you're uncoachable, then you're not going to be able to tap into the experience and the knowledge that your coaches have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess the biggest thing is just to really talk them through it, like, I guess for coaches out there to really be clear on the message that they want to communicate. Because
yeah.
the one thing that I think coaches should always remember is the only thing they have is their message.
Yeah.
They really have nothing else.
That's
you know,
true.
They can't go out there and play.
Yep.
They can't go out
can't
there
do
and
them.
Do it for them anymore.
Yep.
You know, it's like, and so if the only thing you have is your message, you know, how often do you work on that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I guess that would be the challenge out there for coaches is because if that's all you have, then you should probably spend most of your time working on how you can get your message across.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Well, and that just reminds me of how important communication is from the top in any industry, but certainly in athletics.
Sure.
As you were talking, I was thinking again about what we often say to our team members here at Growing Leaders. Every opportunity that stares you in the face fits into one of these three categories. It's in your control, it's out of your control, or it's within your influence. And your response is going to be different in each one. If it's out of my
sure.
control, I just got to trust the process. If it's in my control, I need to take responsibility. If it's within my influence, well, then I've got some responsibility and I need to do it. But then ultimately, I can't have anguish and lose sleep over the fact I've done everything I can. The rest has been, you know, the luck of the draw, or that ball bounced just over the shortstop's, you know, mitt. You know how that happens. Sure. That Texas leaguer that I probably shouldn't have gotten, but I got or didn't get. That's just that I would think that liberates players mentally, just to know I got to put these things in the right bucket every opportunity in front of me. By the way, I need to compliment you. As I've interacted with you over the years, I know you don't claim to be perhaps the greatest in the world, but I think you're so good at connecting with young players and really communicating those things. So you're just very helpful making truth make sense. And every time I talk to you, you always bring something to light that I thought, wow, that was put so well. So thank you for doing your job well.
Oh, shoot. Thanks. That's nice of you to say.
Well, so I want to get really practical. You've already touched on a few of these ideas, but what do you do that has equipped athletes mentally when it comes to continual improvement? You mentioned the baseball card and helping them figure out what's under control. What are some other things you do that maybe a high school or college coach or staff member might be able to maybe put their own twist on it and do as well?
Yeah, sure. You know, obviously we're talking about, you know, sustaining resilience after having success, so I think one thing that we forget is to celebrate the success, you know? I mean, it feels good to feel good, right?
Yeah.
And so, but the importance of that is it really keeps athletes from burning out, you know, because I think sometimes we get so, I guess here's the double-edged sword, you know, we win one and we want to win two, you know, or, you know, we win two and we want to win five or, you know, whatever it is, which is great. But at the same time, if we become so focused on the next goal that we want to, then we're going to fail to celebrate the current goal that we just did reach. You know, and so if we do that, that's the recipe for burnout, you know, because like I said, it feels good to feel good. That's why we started playing our sport.
That's true in the first place. Yeah.
You know, it's like we played it because it's fun and it made us feel good. A lot of times I come alongside guys and just celebrate their success with them, you know, because it's not my goal. It's their goal, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I mean, it always goes back to the importance of sharing with other people. But, you know, something I always share with our guys is I say, how important it is to share with someone like me or someone that you trust that's in your circle is that, you know, when you share joy, it doubles, you know, and when you share grief, we cut it in half.
Yes.
So either way, you know, it's going to be really good. And so, you know, I guess one thing would be just come alongside them and celebrate it when they hit their goal. Like, be aware of your players' goals, you know, have them set their own, you know, make sure obviously they all work within the confines of the teams.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, be aware of them and do your best to help them accomplish that. And when they do, celebrate it.
Yeah,
you know, I think, you know, because when you do those things, it feels good. And when you feel good, you're going to work harder. When you work harder, you get more out of practice. When you get more out of practice, guess what? You're going to be a better player for it.
Absolutely.
You know? And then I think another thing that I often talk with players about, that is really, really an important concept to get is, And it might be a little difficult for some to understand, but I would say it's like when you're at the top of your game, change your game.
Hmm.
Because the thing in sports, I guess as a team, what we're always looking to do, I guess, is we're trying to be admirable and elusive at the same time.
Huh.
You know, which is in sport, because if we're admirable, that means people are trying to copy us and we're doing things right. And if we're elusive, that means they'll never catch us.
Yeah.
You know, and so... you know, in business, they talk about the sigmoid curve. It's really the same thing, you know. You know, players experience this all the time where, you know, the sophomore slump, you know, they have a great rookie year, and then they come back and they're the same player. Well, guess what? Everybody's figured you out, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's tough to trust yourself. It's tough to trust your coaches enough to say, this worked last year, but now I'm in a different place. Now, I'm not talking about changing everything, obviously, you know, because there are some foundations for our strengths or whatever I have, but it should be enough where, you know, you're able to look at it and say, you know what, I did this really good. Just because I was successful doesn't mean I did everything right, you know? And so I tend to look over here and go, oh, you know what, I can get better at this, I can get better at this. In fact, I can make this my strength this year, and I can be maybe a team that's more focused over here, or maybe I can be a type of player that I'm going to utilize this more this season. And that's how I'm going to stay elusive and continue to be at the top of my game.
That makes sense. That's good. Well, I have one more question for you. We've talked about this before when we've just had time together. Baseball, as we have mentioned, is a game of failure. But other sports aren't necessarily. There can be young, gifted athletes that just have always been the best. They've always won. Their bedrooms are full of trophies and ribbons and everything else. So if you were in front of a gifted athlete who's suffered from always succeeding, and of course that's a good thing, but what do you say and do to help them have perspective? The mental key, I guess. What do you say to that kind of athlete? Some of our coaches and teachers listening to this might just have that kind of a gifted athlete in front of them right now.
Sure. You know, it's obviously difficult, you know, and everybody comes from a different place. But, you know, I think one thing that really tends to hit home for some of the football and baseball players that I've worked with in the past is I draw a diagram, you know, and I go, you know, I always ask the player, how long do you want to live? You know, and so we go zero, you know, it's usually 9 years. So 0 to 90, you know, and then I break it up in increments of 10 years, you know, 10, 20, you know, and then depending on the sport, you know, I show them, I color it in. I say, this is how long you're going to get to play your sport.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a fraction.
So,
yeah.
And what it is, you know, we're all visual learners, you know, and so we look at that and we go, oh, wow. And so I always remind them, you're going to be a non-player a lot longer than you're going to be a player.
Yeah.
You know, and so to understand that first, you know, I think that gives them like the big picture perspective.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm going to make the most of my opportunity. And then the thing to understand though, at the end of that though, but I tell them it's like, now this whole section back here, when you're a non-player, everything you do, I shouldn't say everything, but most of the things you do in this window of when you're playing is going to affect most everything you do in the second part of your life. It's going to affect your relationships.
Uh-huh.
It's going to affect your sleep. Going to affect your financial resources. You know, it's going to affect all these things because it depends on how you look back at your experience. You know, it's like if you're proud of what you did, proud being of the work that you put in, you know, because at the end of the day, what I do know is like, at least in our job, no matter how well you hit a fastball, that doesn't transfer over to being a successful dad or a successful, you know, spouse or any of that,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so are you building those skills? And so, you know, I want to come alongside them and help develop those, I guess, I don't want to say soft skills because they're so important and
yeah,
that's sort of
yeah.
the longevity of life. But, you know, first to give them that perspective and then second, come alongside them. And, you know, honestly, for the most successful athletes, I want to be there and catch them when they fall, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to run into a time and a place or another competitor and that they're not going to be the best.
Yep.
You know, and there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to back away from them in that moment, you know, because they only followed them because they're best. Like, oh, well, now they're not. So they're going to move on to somebody. That's usually a pretty lonely place.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, something we say here is there's two types of players, humbled players and those that are about to be.
Yes.
You know, and so... I want to make sure I come alongside them and, you know, help them, I guess, frame the situation appropriately.
Yes.
You know, whatever may have happened, you know, it's like, okay, you know, just because you lost doesn't make you a loser. Just because you failed doesn't make you a failure. You know, I know you've never done this before, but let me tell you, it's pretty normal, you know,
and
the difference is, right. And the difference is how you bounce back. And so, because I guess what happens is you don't ever want to take someone that's successful and make them feel less. What you want to do is bring their preparation up to match their level of confidence to their success, right?
That's good.
And that's something I always tend to struggle with. Most of the college football players preparing for the combine because their confidence is through the roof because they've been invited to the combine, but their preparation doesn't always match it. And so instead of bringing them down to a realistic level, you know, let's keep them really confident. Let's just make sure his preparation matches it so we can go there and have success.
That's good. So good. Darren, it's an honor to have you just to converse with us today. And it is an honor to work with you guys at the Giants, to have minor league ball players doing the images and hopefully getting a principle stuck in their head that actually helps them. Thanks for doing what you do and for partnering with us and for doing this podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure, Tim. Anytime. You keep up the good work, too. Always love getting your resources, man. They're outstanding.
You bet. All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Darren.
Well, thanks for listening in with us. We've become big fans of the Giants over the years as we've gotten to know them. Their minor league players are using Habitudes for Athletes as their player development program. We've taken our Habitudes curriculum and developed an athletic version for high school, college, and professional athletes. To learn more about the program, please reach out to JT Toms at jt@growingleaders.com. He's our athletic programs director and would love to help talk about the student athletes that you're working with and how we can partner up together. And until next time, thanks for listening to this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.